I've been away for a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, my mother has passed away. Suddenly, she left us. It was, from what we understand, it was a painless death. Nobody expected it. She was a healthy woman, 54 years old. And she just went to bed and after the breakfast for a nap, and she didn't wake up anymore. And they said that it was a heart attack. So we were back in Europe, my wife and I, and had a good time with the family, and the funeral went well. And just want to read a scripture that was sort of a really encouraging to me. We were just reading a word about the heart, and the only thing that really kept me going in this time of I would say sorrow is the word of God, and it really gave me a new hope. And Christ was always speaking to me different things, and this is one of the things that really spoke to me. As for man, his days are like grass, Psalm 103. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Amen. The Lord is with those who fear him. And my hope, and I know that my hope, is that I'll be seeing my mom very soon, and that we all will be seeing those loved ones that we have lost, that have gone to be with the Lord. So thank you, God, for your new hope that we have every day. Just a couple announcements. We have a lot of new things coming up. September is coming up, new school year, and a lot of things are starting up. I really encourage you to look through your bulletin. The main major things that I'm just going to point out really quick is we have a Pioneer Club starting in September, and so does the youth on September 12th. We have a Ministry Appreciation Night, which is happening Thursday, September 4th at 7 p.m. here at the church. If you're involved in any ministry, if you've been helping and actively being involved in this church, we would invite you to come and join us. We have a special guest, just a well-planned evening for everyone that's involved in the church. More information you can see in a bulletin. Men's breakfast that same week is coming up, which is September 6th. And then we have newcomers receptions that same week, September 7th, at Pastor Ken's place. And for those of you that are new at the church and you always wanted to know more about the church and Pastor Ken and his wife and the family and the leaders, we welcome you to come and join us Sunday, September 7th. Water baptism is coming up Sunday, September 28th. And yes, just look through your bulletin. There's a lot of good things coming up, starting up. And of course, one more thing that I forgot is the small groups are starting again in September, along with the series that we're going to be having. We are in the need of some of the host homes. Please speak to Larry if you'd like to open up your home to host a small group, which is basically just people coming over to your place and just hanging out with you and talking about the stuff from the Bible and things that we hear here on Sundays. That's about it. Pastor Ken, welcome to come.
Well, thank you, David. We are excited about the fall. Lots of good things starting, as David mentioned. The series we're starting, and the small groups are going to be around this series, is called The Power of Blessing and Honor. The Power of Blessing and Honor. And I have been reading and studying in preparation, putting these messages together for September, and I'm getting excited about the good truths that are here. And so this is going to be a good time. And so be sure to sign up. The insert is in your bulletin. You sign up, you just leave it at the back, and we will put people into groups. I think they last for 10 weeks, the time that the series is running. And so be sure to be involved in that. All right, last week we started talking about directing our heart. Directing our heart. And I'll give just a real run over of what we did last week. And then I just want to sort of close it off with some thoughts around this topic. I feel bad that more people aren't here. We're doing this in summer. So obviously people are coming and going on vacation. But I trust that those of you that are here, this is a life-changing message and thought if you lay hold of this today. We started in Proverbs 23 and 26, which just simply says, God speaking to us, and he says, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. Give me your heart. What is the heart? The heart is the center of our affection. Our heart is, well, everything comes out of our heart. Our feelings come out of our heart. Our moods come out of our heart. It's the core of your being is your heart. And the Lord says, give that to me. Don't give me all these other things. Give me your heart. And so the thought that came to us in the message title is you can direct your heart. And we think, well, how can I do that? I mean, I either like something or I don't like something. How can I say I like something and I don't like it? How do I direct my heart? But you can direct your heart, or God wouldn't tell us to give him our hearts unless there is no ability to give him our hearts. And that's what we talked about last week. And we saw the truth that Jesus shared in Matthew 6 and 27 or 21, where he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We would think, well, wherever my heart is, that's what I treasure. But Jesus just turns it and he says, listen, wherever you put your treasure, your heart will follow. Now that's a tremendous truth, and it's the key to understanding how to give your heart to the Lord. There are some choices you make, some things that you decide to do. You start putting your time, which we treasure, our finances, which we treasure. We put that in a certain direction, and our heart follows. And that brought us to the second truth, and that is that treasure is not just wealth, it's treasure that's stored up. And our heart is like a treasure chest that we put things in. And so it's not just a one-time thing, but your heart is the sum total of all the treasure that you collect. Your heart's that deposit. It's like your heart's the treasure trove, and all the treasure comes into your heart. So we saw that you collect, our heart is something that collects. Now, when we were on vacation, we shared this last week, a month ago, we were in St. Andrews in New Brunswick, and we went out on a cruise into the ocean. And when we were out there, I noticed these heart-shaped structures that were in the water all along the shore. And I thought, I wonder what they are. And I asked the guy, I said, what are they? And he said, those are fish nets, and they catch fish. Now, if you want to put that picture up, Autumn, and I went on the internet, and I just looked at it to see how they work, and lo and behold, you can see it's faced as a heart. The fish comes in the bottom, and they swim to the top, and then they go right or left, and they come back, and they just swim because they're trying to get out. They just swim around the periphery, but when they come around the bottom and start up, they don't make that sharp turn. To get out, they'd have to make a 180-degree turn to leave. But they don't, so they just keep swimming around and around. As more fish come in, it just fills the trap. Because fish don't make that 180-degree turn. Now, what is a 180-degree turn? In the Bible, it's called repentance. Repentance is turning 180 degrees. Fish don't repent, so they stay in there. Now, here's the key to us. You have a heart. Your heart is collecting the things that are going into it. And the guide told me, they direct the opening of the net to where they want it to be, so to catch the fish they want to catch. And so you can direct, just like they would direct a fish net, you direct your heart. And where you direct your heart, things will flow into your heart. Now, we have a lot of things in our heart. But we need to get some things out of our heart. Well, how would you get them out of your heart? You have to decide and be definite, just like a fish would have to come up and say, okay, I got to make a 180-degree turn here. Now, in the natural, you don't do it. In the natural, we don't do it unless you repent, unless God speaks to you, and you say, I have to do something diametrically opposed to what I'm doing now, and that's repentance. Unless we repent, these things will not get out of our heart. You may not want them in your heart. You might wish they were out of your heart, but they won't get out of your heart unless you repent. And so it's a very important principle here. And also the principle is that our hearts are collecting these the fish. Or our heart is collecting where it's faced. Now here's the key. You can put that off, Autumn. Here's the other point from last week, which was really important. Someone might say, well, but how do I do that? You have to direct your heart and set your mind. See, here's the key. If you want something different in your heart, then you have to direct your heart in a different direction. You have to direct your heart towards God. You direct your heart and set your mind towards God, and the things of God flow into your life. Here's how it words it in Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You see, your heart can be directed to the things on this earth. You could direct it towards money. You can direct it towards family. Some people's heart is directed, I want to be thought well of. So everything in their heart is determined by their feelings of their heart is determined by, I want people to think well of me. I don't want to go against my peers. Or it could be towards your work. So everything in your heart, what you treasure, and you're filling it with things of work. Other people, it could be video games. And so you're filling your mind, you're directed towards video games. That's where you're putting your time and your effort towards that. There's nothing wrong with a video game, at least some of them. But is it of any value? Has it had any eternal significance? And if you're going to make your life count for God, then you need to put your heart towards things that are significant, things that are above, things that are eternal, not things of the earth. You can fill your heart with all kinds of stuff that it's not beneficial. It's only for this life. So many times you got to repent of that to get those things out and turn your heart towards God to get some things in. Here's what Romans 8:5 says. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now see, here's our problem. Part of us, we want to please God. We want to do things for God, but we find it hard. And it says here that the carnal mind cannot serve God. If you filled your mind with just temporal, natural things, and then you say, okay, but I want to do something for God, you'll find all those natural, temporal things hold you back. Well, I want to do that, but I don't have time for that. I got to go here. And I'm spending time here, and your energy's here and there and everywhere else. And you're not directing it towards God. See, the carnal mind, if you just set your mind on things that's of the earth, good or bad, even it may not even be evil, just something that's carnal, then you won't please God. You won't be open to do what he wants you to do because this is so important. The things of God are just 100% opposite of your natural thinking. You want to be great, you become a servant. You want to be exalted, then humble yourself. You want to have more, then you got to give. Given it shall be given unto you. I mean, it's a 180-degree turn. And so you just don't get it naturally. And you'll be fighting every time something comes up, a need is in the church, and so you go to give towards it. Because your heart's saying, oh, you need that money for this, and you need money for that. And if you give, you'll have less. See, you filled your mind with carnal things, carnal thinking. We have to have as the Bible says, our mind renewed. Think differently about things. How do you think differently? By directing your heart towards spiritual things. You begin to read the scripture. You begin to pray. You begin to be around people who are Christians, who think properly and rightly in line with God. And it begins to change your heart. That begins to fill your heart. So the last thing we talked about last week, you have to choose what you're going to dwell on. What are you going to think about? You need to choose. That's how you direct your heart. And we read in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Your struggle will end when your heart aligns with God. If you want to follow God, but your heart is filled with temporal things, you'll always have a struggle. Well, I want to do that, but then you can't because your heart's in another direction. You need to give your heart to God. And as we said last week, and I don't want to get into this because I'm just reviewing last week's message, but I know many of you weren't here for it. You need to direct your heart toward your spouse. A lot of people think negative. They're thinking about all the bad things and all the negative things their spouse is doing. And so you're filling your heart with all those negative thoughts. Now you're at work and you meet this other person. And you turn your heart towards them. And you're thinking positively. And then those things fill your heart. You need to direct your heart to your spouse. You need to give your heart to the things God says you should give your heart towards. See, if you don't, you didn't mean to at the beginning, but your heart fills with feelings and you end up doing things you thought you would never do. It's because you put your heart in a wrong direction. Keep your heart towards God. Set your heart towards the things He wants you to set your heart toward. It's a decision you have to make. Now let's go on and we'll touch some of these things again. But if you want to take your fill in out of your bulletin, let us go over these final points here on this thought of directing your heart. Here's the first fill-in. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now, we've already talked about this. That's why you have to keep your heart, because it's the most important thing. The issues of life, the drives of life, the desires of life, what you will put yourself towards, you will reap the fruit of where your heart is because you plant things in your heart. And so you have to keep it with all diligence. You got to be diligent about this. You just can't be haphazard. And, you know, as I was preparing this message, I almost had a bit of a sadness come across because I thought to myself, I don't think there'll be anyone in that service, at least I hope that there, that would reject this. I don't want to give my heart to the Lord. But many of us will not be diligent to do it. Because it's not just a prayer. This is a direction of your heart towards things. It's deciding I'm going to put my treasure towards spiritual things. So you start putting your treasure there and your heart aligns. Now your natural drive and all your desires are for God because you're filling your heart with the things of God. But many of us are distracted. And we're not keeping our heart with all diligence. You know, it comes back to the passages that David read this morning about the four soils. Jesus talked about a sower going forth, sowing seed. It landed on four different types of soil. When Jesus interpreted the parable, he said the soils are your heart. There's wayside heart. In other words, the seed comes, but your heart's hard. You're indifferent. You're sitting here in the message this morning, and it just sort of lands. You hear it with your ears, but it doesn't penetrate your life. And it says the enemy comes and just steals it away. You got to cultivate your heart. Soften your heart. Break it up. That's a diligence. Then the second soil was a stony soil. Seed fell, takes root, starts to grow. You got a desire. I'm going to do this. But it only lasts a week or two. The sun comes up. It withers because there's no depth of soil. Some people have hearts like that. Other hearts are, it says, a thorny soil. It's good soil, but there's thorns in it and there's weeds in it. And Jesus said those thorns and weeds are the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. Because we have to handle money, and money is the medium of exchange in this world, our hearts go towards money rather than towards God. We think money is our source rather than looking to God. We have to handle money, but our source is God. And you got to guard your heart that your heart doesn't move towards money. Because you can't serve God and mammon. So you got to be diligent in your heart. And the last soil was good soil. This is soil that when the roots go down into it and the good plant grows, it bears fruit. See, thorny soil, the plant lives, but it's unfruitful. It doesn't bear any fruit. A lot of Christians like that. They are Christians. They believe in the Lord. They have a heart towards God. There's good things growing in their life. But because they're so distracted, their heart's given in different directions. I'm over here, and I'm over here, and my heart's filled with all kinds of other things. That it saps the good soil of our heart that should be focused towards God. Now, there's so much growing in my heart that it all grows up together and there's no fruit. Folks, keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it comes the issues of life. Guard your heart. Now let's just go through these as we go down. The next one is search your heart. Search your heart. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try and know my anxieties. It starts with just coming before God and saying, God, I want to serve you. Search my heart. There's lots of things in my life. I can see there's a lot of things in my heart, and I'm pulled in a lot of directions. Lord, search my heart. Show me. And listen, God will speak to you if you'll hear him. Take time to hear him. It's not hard to hear from God. It's just that we got so many other things swimming in our head, so many other distractions up there. That God is speaking to us, but we're so busy we don't even hear it. We don't even take time to listen. That's why you have to keep your heart. That's why you need to be in prayer before God every day and say, God, search my heart. I only have so much time. I only have so much energy. I'm here. You've given me spiritual life. What do you want me to do? What fruit do you want to produce in me? Search my heart. Let me weed the things out of my heart that it's just, they're not necessarily evil, but they're just not of any benefit. You know, after the service this morning, we were talking, a couple of young men were talking to me, and they said to me, you know, your message really spoke to us this morning. He said, we were playing a video game together this week, and one fellow said to the others, you know, if we're really going to be good at this, we're going to have to give our hearts to this game. You just can't just play this every now and then. If you're going to get through the levels, I mean, you've got to give your heart to it. And he said, man, he said, we had voiced exactly what we're saying here. A lot of people give their hearts to a lot of things. But will they bear good fruit? When we stand in the judgment and we're evaluated for what we've done for the Lord, will there be any fruit to the Lord? Or will we have wasted our life? No God, but wasted our life. No God, but our hearts were sown with so many other things that we didn't bear any fruit. Here's your next fill-in. Unite your heart. Unite your heart. Now, this is a powerful verse in Psalm 86, 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Our heart has to be united because it's all over the place. And if you want to be effective for God, your heart has to come into focus. Now, this is a prayer I've been praying for the last number of years. It was a few years ago that verse really came strong to me, and I understood it. Unite my heart. David was like writing this saying, my heart's in all. Lord, unite my heart that I would fear your name. Let me bring my heart into focus. I don't want it going in every direction. I want to give my heart to this, a little bit of my heart over there, and my heart's over here, my heart's this way. Why don't we just unite our heart? Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be involved in other things, that we can't understand how we invest our money, because in this world we need to invest our money. Doesn't mean you can't have diversions and enjoy sports and so forth. As long as your heart's not given to sports, or your heart's given to money, or your heart's given to that. No, our hearts are given to God. So we can live a full orbed life, but it's not our heart. Our heart's for God. And if something comes or goes, it doesn't mean any different. It doesn't make any difference to us. But a lot of people, it makes a big difference. Oh, I can never do that. I can never let that go because they've given their heart to it. That's why they have to repent. They got to get that fish out of their heart. It's got to turn and get that out. And that's why it goes on to say in the next verse on your notes, James 4:8, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. And he even says, you sinners, that's quite strong. Purify your heart, you double-minded. God doesn't want us to be divided in different directions. Say, God, cleanse my heart, weed my heart, make my heart pure. Let it be good soil. Let my life count for you. Unite my heart to praise your name. It's done out of prayer. Now, there's an example here of Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want to go into the depths of this story, but it'll illustrate something. They were members of the early church. Man, God had saved them. This early church was on fire for God. Their hearts were given to God. And many of them no longer looked at money and the possessions they had. It said they sold what they had. They took the money. They gave it and put it at the apostles' feet for the furtherance of the kingdom. They took care of people that were in need. They spread the gospel further, and they brought their money. Barnabas was one of them. He had a heart for God. He sold what he had. He brought everything, it says in Acts, and he put it at the apostles' feet. Well, there's a couple in the church, Ananias and Sapphira, and a little bit of their heart is towards God. And so they say, you know, we should do this too. Well, what do you think? Well, let's sell this. So they had some property, and they put it up for sale, and they sold it. But when they got the money, now they had a change of heart. The other part of their heart kicked in. And they said, "Woo, that's a lot of money. And if we give that money, we're going to have less. And we'd be better off to keep some of that money." So they decided in their minds that they would come to the apostles. They would say, "We sold our property, and here's what we got for it, and we're going to give it. But we're going to keep a little bit back for ourselves." You read the story. They come in. The Lord gives Peter a word of knowledge, and he sees right through this. And he questions them. And notice what he says here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, because this is pertinent to our topic. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Why have you allowed Satan to fill your heart?" See, that's what they had done. They were Christians. But they had allowed the philosophy of the world and Satan to speak to them. They wanted to have a heart like Barnabas, but they didn't have a heart like Barnabas. And so now they lied to God. They lied to the church. And Peter sees, and he says, Satan's filled your heart. He says, listen, it's all yours. You didn't have to give any of it. He said, it's yours. But now because you've come and said we're giving it all, and you held back part, he said, you're lying to God. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. I don't think Ananias and Sapphira ever thought they'd go down that path. They didn't realize their divided heart and allowing Satan to fill their heart was going to be such a detriment to them. We don't mean to get into the things we get into. I've already mentioned that. We're just allowing Satan to put things in our heart. But it's just a little thing. So we put that in. And then we come in, well, that's just a little compromise. And we put that in. And then over time, you've made little compromises, little decisions, little lies, putting other things, well, I know God would want me to, but you know what? This is just a little, there's nothing wrong with this, and it fills your heart. Definitely your heart is filled, and now you're reaping the consequence of a heart that Satan has filled. You need to give your heart to God. You need to direct your heart towards the Lord. You need to say, here are some things I'm going to start to do. I'm going to let God fill my heart. And that's why you begin to put your treasure where God thinks. You put your time into spiritual things. You put your money into spiritual things. You put your thoughts and your reading into spiritual things. And it changes your heart. Your heart is changed. God changes your heart so that now He's filled your heart, and that's where your desire is. That's your core. That's where you're moving. Everything is pulling towards God rather than pulling away from God. But it's a process. It's not just a one-time prayer giving your heart to God. You have to be diligent. Keep your heart connected to God. And that brings us to the next one. You need to anchor your heart. Anchor your heart. If you don't anchor your heart, you'll drift. You'll drift away. It says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. But a good man will be satisfied from above. Backslider just slides. They just drift. Just a little bit at first. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And you find over time, you've backslidden. And so you have to anchor your heart. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Doctrine is teaching or opinions. You know, we can hear opinions from so many people around us and tell us what's best and why you shouldn't do this and why you should do that. You can get it by listening to talk shows. You can do it by, you can fill your heart with so many kinds of things. If you're just watching television, you're filling your heart. Satan uses television to fill your heart. And things that seem so, well, that's sinful. And then you, oh, I wouldn't. You know, that's really bad what they're showing there. But over time, well, you begin to accept it. And it doesn't hurt. And you get filled with that worldly thinking. You have to keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it towards God. Anchor your heart. My righteousness I hold fast. I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. You got to hold fast to some things. You have to be diligent. Secure it. Like an anchor goes down and catches and keeps a boat from drifting. Don't be tossed back and forth with the philosophies of this world. It says in Colossians, beware lest any man spoil you after the philosophies of this world. It's so easy if you open your heart to it. But no, turn it towards God. Say, I'm putting my time in reading the scripture. See, that's why the disciplines of the word of Christians are so important. Being with God, saying, search my heart, communing with the Lord, reading the scripture, not just to put in a chapter, but to read what God's will would be about a matter. What is God's thinking? How did he act in the past in the lives of people? And so you read it to learn, and you desire it, and you fill your heart with those things, and the weight of your life now is in a different direction. You are inclined towards righteousness. Even though your flesh is still there, we always will have the pull of our flesh, but our heart is so anchored in God that it becomes stronger than the pull of our flesh. Here's your next fill-in. Purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart. That's how you anchor your heart. You purpose in your heart. Daniel 1:8. Daniel was a young man. Israel was conquered by the Babylonian Empire. It was the going concern of the day. They came in and conquered them. They took the best of the young people of Israel, took them away to Babylon, give them new names, trained them, taught them, was going to make them the leaders of the empire. And Daniel could have said, oh, okay, this is great. But it says in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel took a stand. He didn't go with the flow. He could have said, oh, we're in a new land now. That was for my parents and my grandparents. That doesn't really affect me now. They weren't really with it. They didn't understand all the power of this new dynasty that's come in. And look what they're teaching us. And look at the potential we have of getting ahead in this empire. But Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat. So what happened? You read the story. Daniel raised right up to be one of the top three leaders of Babylon, but he never lost his faith. God will always bless you. Even when you put God first, you do get benefits in this world. And you are seen and you are respected, but not because you compromise, but because you stand for what you believe in. And if God wants you to be something, you'll be that with you purpose in your heart to serve him and put him first. Step out in faith. Take a stand for the Lord. Purpose in your heart. And the last fill-in is accept the will of God in your heart. Accept the will of God in your heart. See, this is where we get tripped up many times. We don't really accept God's will in our heart. We don't really believe that God's will is the best will. You know, we're afraid if I give my heart to God, he'll mess me up. Give my heart to God, he might get me to do something I don't want to do. He might make me suffer. As if God's way is not the best way. As if we know better. But a lot of people do not accept the will of God in their heart. But we need to. That's turning your heart towards God. You say, God, you know more about me than I know. I believe that you have a plan and purpose. And if you put yourself to fulfill God's will, you'll never live a happier life. You'll never live a more fulfilled life, a more satisfied life than when you give your heart to God. You have to believe that God's will is the best will and the best way to live. But that's a turning of your heart. And you look to the Lord and you say, God, I don't want to run my life. I want you to run my life. You know me. You created me. I want to live for your purposes, not my purposes. My purposes are just carnal. My purposes are just for here. I want to live my life for you. That's giving your heart to God. Now, we find this story in John 16, and it just spoke to me as I was reading it this week. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, or the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, just picture the story. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's told them that he's going to be going away. He means he's going to go to the cross. He's going to ascend into heaven. He's told them, I'm going to go away. He said, none of you said to me, what do you mean? Where are you going? What do you mean you're going away? They didn't treasure it enough to even ask him. They just put their own interpretation. Well, he's going to leave. And then they felt sad. Sorrow filled their heart because they were just thinking naturally. Well, he's going to go away. He shouldn't go away. He should stay here with us. He says, you didn't ask me. You didn't inquire of what I meant by this. But he says, I'm telling you, it's better for you that I go away, because if I go away, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to be with you. He's going to empower you. He's going to direct you. Moment by moment, I'm going to be in you. But they didn't see it that way. They were just feeling sorrow in their heart because they were just seeing it from a natural perspective. I wonder how many times we do that. God's got a plan and a purpose. He's trying to reveal it to us, but we don't really set our heart to see how God wants us to live our life. We just, well, I want to do this. And we interpret God's will in light of our own feeling and our own thinking. And we go, oh, that's too bad. He's going away. Rather than saying, man, what does it mean? And he said, I'm telling you, it's better for you to go away. Listen, God's will is always better than what you have. And if he's asked you to give something up, it's always better for you. Some of you might be in a relationship that you know is not right. This is not God's will for my life. But you feel like I'm going to be better off if I stay in this relationship. I feel sorrow if I follow God's will. Listen, there's so much good in our future if we just do it God's way. If we just gave our hearts to the Lord, What could he accomplish in us? What would he desire to do? So you have to ask the Lord to keep your heart, search your heart, unite your heart, anchor your heart, put your purpose of your heart towards God, and just accept God's will as the best for your life. Would you stand with me this morning? Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If you just give your heart to the Lord, he will unite it. There'll be a peace that will come, and that peace of God will just unite your heart. I wonder what God's saying to you this morning. What's he saying to you in this message? He is speaking to you. Just open your heart. Say, "Lord, let me hear what you're saying. What would you want me to do if I was to give my heart to you?" It's not just a prayer. It starts with a prayer, but it's more than a prayer. How would you want me to adjust my life? Where do you want me to start putting my treasure? Because if I start putting my treasure and filling, that will fill my heart. That will change the way I feel and think about matters. It'll bring a peace to my heart. Are you willing just to let it all go to the Lord? That's giving your heart to the Lord. Would you just let me pray with you again this morning? Lord, your word is so clear. And yet, Lord, we realize it's a diligence on our part to give our heart to you. It's not just a prayer, but it's a process. It's a day-by-day walking this out. And Lord, I pray for everyone that's in this place that you just allow an importance of this to settle over us, that we'd see how necessary this is, that we wouldn't just drift as Christians any longer, that our soul would be anchored and directed towards the things of you. We'd start making some decisions that will change the direction of our life, knowing that then you fill our heart with the benefits of that. Oh God, do a work in us this morning. You see each person that's here. You know everyone that's in this building right now. I ask that your Spirit would speak directly to them and touch them and give us, Lord, that sense of your presence and direction that we need. May we all have soft hearts this morning to hear what you have for us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this chorus together.
Lord, I give my heart.
Just go home and just let this, just meditate on it. Let it work out in your life. Make some decisions based on what you've heard and direct your heart towards the Lord. You're dismissed this morning. Go in the name of the Lord. Sign up for the things you need to sign up for. And if you're a new time visitor, be sure to get your gift on the way out.